When I make my first statement, do not be offended by what I say. This came to my mind about 3 weeks ago. Grace Bible Church and its members are odd. You say, how did you come up with that? What are the chances that this church would not have one, not two, but three ministries inside their membership? We have the radio station. We have the Mailbox Club, and people volunteer for that, and we have the Gideon's International. It's my experience in the last 12 years going around to the local area speaking. There are a number of churches that have no outreach regarding missions. We have three. I was asked the other day when I let them know that I'd be speaking at my church, they said, it must be so difficult to speak at your own church. And I told them, I said, no, actually it's very easy. You see, this church gets missions and mission outreach and what missions can do around the world for the sake of Jesus Christ. Today, more than ever, this ministry is vital. We're in 204 countries around the world. Last year was a record year. We gave out 91.8 million scriptures. If you want to put it in context, every second, almost three Bibles were given out around the world. 12 years ago, when I became a part of this men's and women's mission outreach, they were saying two Bibles every second. So we are increasing our effort to get out Bibles around the world. We have a new initiative in the state of Georgia, and it's being able to go, and this will delight the pastor, we are able to go into the state prisons in their Tier 1 and Tier 2 areas. Now what that means, these are men that are in lockdown 23 hours a day. They usually are in for life. And we had a group of men and one woman go in and speak out at Valdosta State Prison back in early December. And these men that went in were able to speak one-on-one with these incarcerated men. Now remember, all jail and prisoners are always innocent. They never did what they did, yet they were convicted of it. We have a new area in our focus. It's called Prayer and Personal Witness. And we have a young gentleman in Illinois who is our international prayer and personal witness coordinator. His name is Reza Rasti. It's a name you don't forget. He was here with a number of men in the local area. Some of you may know Andy Wilds. He is our area director. One of the things that shocked him and Reza was how loud these pods are. Now, if you can imagine, here's a cell door that's solid, but just a little window about that wide, and that's all you get to look in and speak with this person. With concrete walls, concrete floors, it's very hard to hear them, and it's very hard to be heard. The first cell that they went to, Reza was talking with a man, his first name is Muhammad. He is a converted Muslim. And he asked, why are you here? We don't get visitors. Why are you here? He said, I'm here about a divine appointment. So his first statement, obviously, as a follower of Islam, he said, Allah has sent you. He said, no, Jesus Christ. Now see, Muslims know about Jesus as a mere man, not as a savior. So there was a good discussion being able to be made with this inmate. They were there for 4.5 hours in four pods. Muhammad was not one that wanted to listen. He wanted to talk most of the time. While he was talking to Muhammad, Andy Wilds was across the pod with Jacob. Jacob was in his late 60s. He had been at Valdosta State Prison for over 20 years, and he will be in there for the rest of his life. The first thing Jacob said is, why are you here? That was the common theme. And Andy said, I'm here to talk to you today and pray with you about some of the needs you might have. And he said, well, you don't seem to understand. I'm here in this cell. I don't talk to anyone. I don't get to see anyone. I only get out for an hour a day. He said, I do understand that, but I'm here today to talk with you and pray with you. That was said four more times. On the fifth time after that, Jacob started to cry. He said, no one has come to be here to talk with me and pray with me ever. This is what this ministry means to different places, whether it's Department of Corrections here in Georgia. We have 10 prisons we have been in. Would it surprise you that out of 5,900 inmates, over 800 have received a Bible, and of those 800, 210 have made a profession of faith? These men are men that can be changed, and these wardens and the Department of Corrections in Atlanta know the value and the worth of seeing a prisoner who has his heart hardened because of anger or because he doesn't feel that he should be in jail. Understand the difference between knowing our Savior and not knowing our Savior. What was so amazing here at Valdosta State Prison, one of our state leaders from Brunswick, Lloyd Crum, he's spoken here before. He has one of those voices that you cannot miss. It's a unique voice. And he was able in a different pod to share just a little about why they were there that day. And the man that he was talking with was one that really wanted to hear what was going on the outside. Well, what he meant was he wanted to know what was going on in sports or what was going on politically or what was going on of things like that. And Lloyd asked him a simple question. He said, if you died today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? One thing we are trained, if we ask that question, we don't speak until the person we're talking to speaks. And that man said, I would be going to hell because I killed my wife. He said, well, let me go through here and explain to you, yes, you can have eternal life. 42 minutes later, that man came to know Christ as his Savior and accepted that A, he was a sinner, and B, that he would trust Christ as his personal Savior. Pat Shelton is a man that I was able to meet 4 years ago in Albany at our state convention, Pastor's Appreciation Dinner. Pat Shelton is 6'8", 355 pounds. He is not a diminutive man, but his testimony is powerful. He was in prison in Kentucky for killing his mother and father, his wife, and two of the four kids that they had with his bare hands. He was in a drunken and drug rage. He was in for 6 consecutive life sentences. Everyone was afraid of him. At that size, at that height, he was very strong. One day, an elderly Gideon came in and asked the warden an odd question. He said, warden, I'd like you to take me to your worst prisoner. I want to meet your worst prisoner. He said, I don't think you want to do that. He said, no, I do. I want to meet him. I have a gift for him. He said, okay. They go back. Solitary confinement, they find his cell. And you see, even without having any drugs or alcohol in him, he had anger issues. He was bitter. But that Gideon walked up and asked him, could he give him a copy of God's Word? And he said, sure, I need something to read, that'd be fine. So he passed it through the slot and left. For the next 4 months, that Bible sat over on a little counter. Pat never looked at it. Had all the time in the day, 23 hours of the day, to read what he wanted to read. And the warden heard him say he would like to have it to read. One day, in the middle of the day, they started hearing this wild crying and yelling. And they realized that was coming out of Pat's cell. And as they looked, he was sitting on the floor, basically crunched up, and he was yelling and screaming of things they couldn't understand what he was saying. This went on for 4 days. They had no idea what was going on. When Pat stated, his next sentence was, I was demon-possessed. You see, the jailers didn't know that I had began to start to read that New Testament. And in my rage of being bitter against people, government, the warden, the jailers, I started reading in that New Testament that Gideon had given me. When I came to John 3:16, it shook me to my core. And I asked Jesus to come in my heart. But that demon was still inside of me. After 4 days, the screaming, the crying, the shouting stopped. And in a quiet voice, he said, "Would you find that Gideon that came here a few months ago and ask him to come back, please?" You see, Pat had never used the word please. It was always anger. Get this. I need this. I want that. Because that's what he had done for most of his life. When that Gideon came, in a clear voice that shocked even the warden, he said, "Mr. Gideon, I don't know your name, but I want to thank you for bringing me that New Testament. I've accepted Christ as my Savior." He did not get out immediately. He served another 5 years, but he became a role model at Kentucky State Prison. He not only got a full pardon, but the pardon had a catch. They wanted him to be the state chaplain for the Department of Corrections in Kentucky. And he was more than happy to do that. To give you an example of how large this man is, his thumb went on my chin and his pinky could go all the way to the back of my neck. That's how big his hand was. And when he tells of how he viciously and violently killed his family members, when you see him today, no longer does he have the long hair, the big beard. He's clean shaven. He smiles. He lets people know there is hope. And that's what we see in this ministry. We see how when we hand out a New Testament, whether it's here at Isaiah Festival or at we did at Barossa State Happening, the freshman orientation, there are people that realize the power that this New Testament has, or the Bible has. And we were able to give out over 4,000 this past summer. In March, we'll be at the Isaiah Festival handing out scripture. We go where this church cannot go. We go out into the community and the different areas of distribution because churches are not allowed to do that. Church members are not allowed to do that. And that saddens us because we know as a ministry, and we know here as a church, that time is short. The Lord is coming back soon. We know this. We see the whole, if I had a map, I'd show you. Middle East, the northern part of Africa and the Middle East, is becoming a hotbed, not for terrorism, but for Muslims and other non-believers coming to know Christ. We're about to announce 3 new countries next month: Morocco, Libya, and Iraq. Morocco is the hardest place for Christians to be outside of Saudi Arabia. How that happened is a new model has become available to us. As a business owner, you are allowed to give out a free gift. They will not censor you. The shop owners there in Marrakesh were asked, "What are you going to give out?" And they said, "We will give out a New Testament to everyone that purchased something." They said, "Is it free?" "Yes, it's free." And that was our opportunity to minister and witness to that Ministry of Information official. Libya, hotbed for ISIS training in other places. We know for a fact that there are people that know, even if they are not a believer, that there is right and there is wrong. And when you go and you kill innocent people under the guise of being able to go to heaven and be with these virgins, it's a lie. And men and women are coming to Christ in these countries. Not in just one or twos. Whole villages are coming forward. In Iraq, we see how vicious this terrorist group can be. And they are targeting Christians. But men and wives of men that are terrorists that are out there killing are putting down their swords. They're putting down their guns. They're coming to know Christ in Iraq. We will announce those shortly. What is amazing to me is when I go to other churches to speak, and there's not a mission presence, they're shocked at what is going on around the world. We are able to go in to these countries and be able to hand out Scripture. This past December, we had a Christmas focus through Source of Light in Kenya and Somalia to the Oromo language folks. The joy about modern technology, this distribution is going on right now with the Gideons in the same area. Goal is to give out 230 scriptures in the same area that Source of Light will be in. And what?
230,000.
230,000. Yes. What did I say? Must have said
230.
Yeah.
No,
that's not correct.
More than that.
See, my mind does happen to slip every once in a while. That's why I'm glad I'm at home church. As of today, they have given out 114,000. They have one more week to give out the rest. Modern technology allows us to understand and see and hear much faster than just 20, 25 years ago. Lloyd Crum was in China a year and a half ago at the request of a pastor that he had met at an international convention. When he landed in Beijing, he was there. The interpreter led him to the vehicle that was going to take him to the church, and he asked, "How long is it to get to the church?" He said, "It's about 105 miles. So he figured, oh, about an hour and a half. He asked me, he said, "Well, about how long will that take?" He said, 6.5 hours. He said, "I'm confused." He said, "When we get another 2.5 miles, we'll be on a dirt road. You see, just around the airport is where the roadways are. But outside of there, they're dirt roads. Plus, they were going to be going up in the mountains." They had time to talk back and forth with the interpreter and the pastor. And as they got closer, he noticed all these mopeds were sitting out there. Bicycles were sitting out on the roadway, they call it. It's more like a dirt path. As they got closer to the church, he could see people were outside of the church. And he asked the pastor through the interpreter, "Is this maybe a custom that they wait for you to come?" Pastor didn't say anything. And Lloyd thought that was kind of odd. He didn't answer his question. As they got out of the car and started to go in towards the church, he saw the doors were open. The reason why they were outside, the church was already full. When they got inside and they sat, he noticed there was some writing on the wall, and of course, not understanding any type of Chinese language, he asked the interpreter, he said, "What does that mean there on the wall? Is it a saying?" He said, "No." "What is it?" He said, "Those are the church service times. You see, on Monday, they meet at 5 o'clock in the evening and 7 o'clock. On Tuesday, it's 5, 7, and 9. On Wednesday, they meet 4 times. Thursday, 5 times. On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they meet 7 times a day." You see, when he asked this question, he got a response from the pastor. He said, "How many members do you have?" He said, "We're a small congregation. We have 173,000. You see, of the 1.3 billion people in China, 10% are evangelicals. Just recently, they have been able to build buildings and meet above ground. This gentleman will be around in the area here this July as we have our international convention in Kansas City, and he will be here in town to speak to us in early July. I can't wait to meet this man. We had a gentleman from Moldova, and he is a, we would call him a taxi cab driver, I guess, but he is a personal servant where if you need to get across from one town to the other for a fee, he would drive you. Now, if it's 25, 30 miles, that might take 35, 40 minutes. But you see, as a Gideon, he has that as an opportunity because it's a captive audience, let's face it. But he had a number of wonderful testimonies of how God moves people. When Lloyd got up to speak, and I have not had this happen, with an interpreter, you have to say a sentence and wait for the interpreter. And as he started talking about different things going on in China, he could see the people's eyes light up because they know what oppression is. I don't think we've seen anything close to what other countries are seeing in the way of oppression. We got a glimpse the last 8 years of things that can be changed in this country in a way we don't want to see. What is interesting is we do see more and more opportunity coming for this ministry. Fire departments are welcoming us with open arms. They want to have that New Testament in their vest pocket or in their back pocket when they go to a fire. If they're a believer, to be able to pull that New Testament out and talk with someone and maybe even witness. I speak from experience here in town. We were able to give out Bibles to our firefighters and to our policemen. The policemen and women were so thankful because you know what's going on in America regarding policemen, sheriff's officers being killed. They want to have God's word. Would it surprise you out of 196 men and women with the police department, all 196 took a New Testament? Brian Childress, our police chief, thanked us with a very long and gracious letter. He said, this is way overdue. We need you to come every 6 months. We do have turnover, and we want to have men and women that serve the community to be able to have that comfort and need. South Georgia Medical Center, their medical benefits day. When they come in, they have to come by our table if they want to be eligible for the grand prize. And what is so nice, and we've been doing this for 8 years now, is they thank us for being able to allow them to have a New Testament. And that's through the efforts of the local churches. Last year alone, we gave out 21,700 here locally. What is amazing, I checked last night online, our goal this year, we have a fiscal year. It goes from June 1st to May 31st, so we're a little bit over halfway. We're at 49.7 million scriptures given out. And then right below it, I noticed there are 9.7 million scriptures waiting for funds to send them overseas. Venezuela is waiting for 2.3 million. India, 3.7 million scriptures. And China has just placed their third order, 7.7 million scriptures. We look at that as a challenge, and we know that it's a tall challenge. We know that this ministry is one that we understand by faith. God has already gone before us. And we know when those scriptures are placed, they are placed in hands of people that need God's holy word. One thing I've just recently learned, which will take us to a different level. 5 years ago, our international president, Kevin Fuller from Australia, was here at Northside speaking, and the next day he invited some of the men of our camp to have breakfast with him. And he had come up with this idea called Vision 2020. It's a very comprehensive vision. But the biggest thing is he wants to see this ministry worldwide from 2020 on being able to give out 120 million scriptures a year. That means every 8.5 years we will be giving out a billion, with a B, billion Bibles around the world. And we're also challenged to have each camp engaged in the local community by doing presentations like this or giving out Bibles where we are allowed to give out. I normally would keep everything positive, but today this is a negative, and I know that you understand why I'm bringing this out, because I know this church will pray for this situation. We are still not in Valdosta City Schools. Dr. Kaysen has been gracious enough to meet with us, but he has not made a decision. There is a chance that there will be a Gideon at his church in Thomasville. He's a missionary Baptist preacher. He has not made a statement of yes or no, but we're praying that he'll respond. And the reason why we would like him to hear what goes on in this ministry is how vital it is. You know, children today that are in the fifth grade are very impressionable. We saw that at the Mailbox Club dinner and fundraiser, how important it is to reach children when they're young. We see it also. One other initiative that is changing in 2020, we usually take about 16 to 18 years to go to some countries, whether it's Africa, Asia, South America. We're moving that up to every 6 years. That is going to take a lot of resources. Men that go, they pay their own way. Everything. Flight, hotel, food, everything. That means we will be doing more overseas distributions. Our outgoing state president, Wayne Kirkley, was in Venezuela. Did not know any of the language there. But he quickly learned a few words to help him out. But their first day there, 22 men were there in Caracas at the police department, their police academy. 217 men and women had just graduated, and they were going to be on patrol and be with out in the city there of Caracas. As they were giving these Bibles out, the translator would tell them in Spanish, "Thank you for coming. Thank you for finishing. Thank you for being a police officer." The next day, they were headed to University of Venezuela. And the cars that they had of the local men were loaded down with these big white boxes. And they were told that we would try and make the quickest way to the university because some of the area they're going through is not very safe. Sure enough, they got through that one area, the second area. They were pulled over by two motorcycle policemen. They wanted to know what was in the boxes in the back seat of the car and in the trunk. They said, "Well, they're Bibles." So how do we know you're telling us the truth? Open them up. As they were going back to the trunk of one of the cars, four of the cadets that graduated the day before saw what was going on and stopped. And there was a conversation between the officers. And the whole time, those three men were praying in that car and two other cars, praying that everything would go fine. Now, they did not understand what was being said between those officers. But one came over who knew a good bit of English. He said, "We know who you are, and we've told these two that you're not dealing in drugs. You're not trying to smuggle anything around, that you're going to the university." Well, they had an escort through town to that university, and over 5,000 copies of God's Word went out that day at Caracas University. There are times when we see things happen and we don't understand it. We have had a lot of death in our local group. Our auxiliary vice president passed away Sunday after a lengthy battle with cancer. A Gideon member in the South Camp, Gary Williams, passed away, liver cancer. We had two Gideons in our Adel and Berrien County pass away early this year. We are not getting younger. just in case anyone's wondering, I am having my last birthday this year. I will not have any more. I'm done. But today is an anniversary, in case anyone remembers. 10 years ago today, some of you came to the hospital. I had suffered a heart attack and had to have a stent in one of my arteries. And many of you came and visited me. And I want to tell you, if I haven't said before now, thank you. It has been 10 years. Haven't had another incident. Feel pretty good. So I'm glad I won't be back in there as a patient. One of our newer programs, I want to take just a moment since I have. By the way, we're going to get out on time so we can eat on time. I'm not going to go long like someone else might. Had to get the plug in. This is called Friends of the Gideons. Everyone in this room can sign up for this, no matter what age you are. There's two parts to this. First part, you can become a prayer partner. You say, well, I pray for the ministry now. But what if you got in an email or a text message or a letter more specific things to pray for? You can become a better prayer partner. Now, there is a second part of this. It's Friends of the Gideons, where you participate. You give $10 a month, but what it gains you is access to Bibles. For the first time, we're having men and women being able to hand out Bibles instead of, say, maybe a tract. The difference, the little emblem that's here, will not be there. It will be a gray cover. Everything else inside is the same. But that's an option, too. If you go to gideons.org, I believe it's on the left side. It says Friends of Gideons. You click on it. It'll take you to the friendsofgideons.org site and walk you through. If you want to be a prayer partner, that's fine. If you'd like to give monthly, that's fine, too. But you also have, and by the way, they're a dollar. These are about $1.25 that gets purchased. But these that you purchase, and even the pastor can become a participating person in that. One of the things that has really taken off, this is called the Life Book. This was put together by two of our Gideons in Oklahoma. This is to target high schoolers. How this works, this is actually just the book of John, but it has a lot of questions in there that high schoolers are wondering about. And it answers those questions. To date, in 4.5 years, we've given out over 9 million life books to high schoolers around the United States. And these are provided free of charge to churches that want to take on. They're called saturations. They're led by the students. And there has been many, many, many opposition to this because there is this fear of separation of church and state. But when it's led by a student, they can't stop them. They can't stop them, and they don't stop them. We had a wonderful year this year. We're anticipating an even better year this year. But we also know that there are some clouds that are still here in America. Pray that we will be able to have that dedicated one-on-one conversation with Dr. Kaysen, and that we would be allowed to go back in to the Valdosta City Schools. Minnesota has advanced a lawsuit to the Supreme Court there in Minnesota regarding the distribution of Bibles on public property. It really doesn't have merit, but the judge that's hearing it has put a date of February 14th, a very inappropriate day, I believe. But the lawsuit basically is asking that the judge stop any distributions on public property by the Gideons in Minnesota. Pray for the Gideons in Minnesota because they are fighting this. We are seeing many, many, many places around the world that we never dreamed of being able to hand out God's word. As China is opening, Russia is closing. We did get word from a number of men there that are in leadership in Russia that Vladimir Putin is closing the doors to our ministry. He's not doing it overnight, but it will be within the next year or two. Pray for Russia that it will stay open to our ministry. I don't have to tell this church the results of having ministry, whether it's the radio station, you turn to 101.1 and you'll hear the gospel a number of times during the day. You'll hear our pastor talk about doctrine. There are many places around us that don't have a Christian radio station that does what WAFT does. And then the Mailbox Club, many of you volunteer. You see exactly what goes on. You know what these kids and teenagers and young adults around the world are facing. And we see with the Gideons how things that we take for granted in other countries, it's a fight. It's a joy to have a copy of God's Word. I'll close with this. We've had a bad time with weather here. Tornadoes, destruction, death. One of our Gideons in Cook County, he's a pharmacist for Chancy Drugs, asked for the afternoon off to go over to the trailer park that was destroyed and where seven people were killed. Sheriff officer asked him why he was there. He said, "I'd like to give out some New Testaments to the family members that are here or workers." And at first the sheriff's officer said, "Well, I'll need to maybe get permission because this is private property." Well, about that time, one of the family members saw Jason and recognized him and motioned him in, and they basically let him go. As he was handing out these New Testaments to the people, one of the cousins that was there took a New Testament and sat over to the side and started reading. And most times we don't maybe have the wherewithal to look around, but Jason looked around and she had her head down. And she was crying. Jason came over and sat next to her. He said, "Can I help you?" She said, "You just did." He was confused. He said, "How did I help you?" "I've never had a Bible in my hands. I'm an atheist." And she turned, of all places, John 3:16. It was at that time, for that place, at that exact moment, that by Jason being obedient and not being afraid and handing that to that dear child, that she kept reading that over and over and over. And she said, "This is talking about me." She personalized it. Jason shared that with me. That was the first time in the 2.5 years he's been a Gideon that he's had this opportunity to sit down with someone one-on-one. And he just knows now, more than ever, this ministry is needed around the world. Today, if you're prepared to give, make your check out to Gideon's International or Gideon's. I'll be at the back door with an open Bible, as the pastor has stated. I want to thank you for allowing me to come and share a little bit what's going on in this ministry in the last year. Sometimes there's not a lot that has gone on, but there's plenty to talk about. So today, more than ever, we are seeing people coming to know Christ and having the ability to go out where you can't go. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Dale.